Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY25 earnings conference call of UFlex Limited, hosted by Dolat Capital Markets Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sachin Bobade from Dolat Capital Markets Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, everybody. On behalf of Dolat Capital, I welcome you all to the Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call of UFlex Limited. Hope you all are staying safe and healthy. From the management team, we have with us Mr. Rajesh Bhatia, Group President and Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Surajit Pal, Vice President, Head of Investor Relations. Now, I hand the floor to the management for their opening remarks, and then we would have a question-and-answer session. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Sachin. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today for the Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call of UFlex Limited. Let me draw your attention to the fact that on this call, our discussion will include certain forward-looking statements, which are predictions, projections, and other estimates about future events. These estimates reflect management's current expectation about the future performance of the company. Please note that these estimates involve several risks and uncertainties that could cause our actual results to differ materially from what is expressed or implied. I would now request Mr. Rajesh Bhatia, Group President and CFO, for his opening remarks, following which we will open the forum for an interactive question-and-answer session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, all the participants, for our Q4 and FY25 earnings call. Overall, I would say to begin with that a very satisfying year after we had shown that the revenue and the EBITDA had dipped in FY24 as compared to 23. And yes, we had the reasons to explain for that, but end of the day, you always feel much better if the numbers are in positive despite all the reasoning that you have to give for this. Happy to say that this year and this quarter, throughout the year, we've been doing reasonably well. We've seen the volumes gone up. We've seen the revenue going up, and we've seen the operational EBITDA has gone up substantially on a consolidated basis by about 18-odd% this year as compared to FY24, which is very heartening. Also, we have a much lesser exceptional loss this year of about 177 crores only in Egypt and Nigeria. So actually, we had a much higher number in the first two quarters, but the next two quarters, there has been some recoupment. So for the year as a whole, the numbers now stand at 177-odd crores versus 871 crores, what we had in FY24. And consequently, we have PAT positive at about 142-odd crores versus the loss of about 690-odd crores, which we had in FY24. Notable is that the packaging films volume is up this year as a whole by about a little over 10%, 10.4%. Sales of the packaging films are up 10.3%. The packaging films margins also improved in this year. And overall, the reason for a better performance in this, both on the revenue side as well as on the profitability side, is more contribution coming from packaging films business, especially India, especially Hungary. Then we had a huge turnaround in Nigeria. So all these factors have contributed to a higher profitability in FY25. I'll always have to cover the aseptic packaging because that's been a shining star for a few years now and will remain so in the future. So even in this year, we have done about 7.87 billion packs against a capacity of 7 billion packs, which is about more than 110% capacity utilization levels. And we, as we commission our 12 billion packs capacity, which is now in the final stages, I think we look for a much better performance from this, as it's this business, will not have capacity bottlenecks to expand its horizons. I think for FY26, we will have a much better expectation of all these businesses, as we've seen that better traction in volumes for all the businesses put together, and obviously some of the streams which have come to commissioning in the last couple of 1 month or so for FY25, we'll definitely see a full year performance of that, plus some of the projects which are going to get commissioned in FY26, especially our Mexico project, where we're going to make the WPP bags for the pet food industry. Our aseptic packaging business in Egypt, which we had announced to the markets, and our recycling facilities at Noida, given that recycling has been commitments have to be fulfilled by all the brand owners from 1st of April, but we're going to commission that project later this year, and the benefits will start rolling in. So overall, as I said, that on a consolidated revenue increase 0.4% to over 15,000 odd crores, with the packaging films leading the pack with the sales and volume growth of about 10.4%. And this is the first time we have achieved over 500,000 tons production and sales volume in our packaging films business. So as we ramp up the capacity utilization in some of the plants where we have still headroom, typically we can do better in Nigeria, we can do better in Poland, which has been seeing imports from, especially from India, and that is where there is some pressure on the local production, given that the European costs are much higher as compared to the cheaper imports from Southeast Asia or from India. So yes, there are a couple of things which we can do better in the current financial year. We had 72% capacity utilization in our PET chips facility, which was the first year for our Panipat plant. But obviously, we have a headroom there to go up as well. So all these, I think, optimizations and improvement in efficiencies, we'll surely take it up in FY26. And as FY26 also will see a commissioning of some of the new initiatives which we had announced earlier. So FY27 onwards, we will look at and top line as well as the profitability growth. Coming to the debt side, this year we had a debt of gross debt of about 8,100 odd crores and a net debt of about 6,800 odd crores, and this includes long term as well as the working capital debt. And we have next year repayment of about 1,175 odd crores for the long-term portion of the debt. Working capitals are more rotational in nature. So as the business ramps up, obviously the working, you need more working capital. But we will be looking to repay 1,175 crores in FY26 of our long-term debt. But yes, we add on some further debt also because of the ongoing projects, the three projects of the WPP bags, the recycling at Noida, and the aseptic expansion at Egypt. So I think the overall sense is that, you know, FY26 looks to be more promising. Overall, in all the business streams, as you know, we will have the benefit of our own PET chips availability for even for our international operations from our Egypt facility, higher capacity available in the aseptic packaging India business, and obviously, you know, there is headroom to do better utilization of your capacities in certain countries, which I just explained. And yes, overhang remains that in India, the BOPP, you know, capacity expansions industry-wide is coming into play starting from June onwards. So we'll have to closely watch as to how that, you know, how that will impact the industry players' behavior in terms of, you know, the pricing and the margins. So that's, you know, overall a nutshell from me. I'll also say that for the year as a whole, for this quarter, we spent about 668 crores on the CAPEX, and the large one was our aseptic packaging and WPP projects. And for the year as a whole, we spent about, we did about 1,700 odd crores of, I'll give you the exact number, I think it is 1,726 crores is what we spent. 1,726 crore is what we spent for the whole year on our various CAPEX plans. And next year also, we are looking to spend close to about 1,200 crores on our ongoing, you know, expansion projects. So, so even if that is met largely from the new debt taken, the old debt which has to be retired next year is going to be, again, as I said, 1,175 crores. So we are looking to, we will definitely add some more debt as the working capital requirements for the expanded business will still have to be met out. But on a CAPEX debt versus the repayments, they will more or less even out for the FY26 period. The only working capital additional requirement for the existing businesses as well as for the new businesses that get implemented and that get scaled up will have to be you know, taken from the banks. Having said that, we also, as a strategy, we sitting on a cash also, substantial cash also. As on 31st of March, against a gross debt of about 8,100 odd crores, we having a cash of about 1,273 crores, which is, you know, which gives us sort of leverage in terms of you know, planning your cash flows in a much better way and acts as more as a safety for the business that, you know, should there be any exigencies because of the market conditions, so you know that, you know, you have substantial cash to, you know, sort of take care of your any debt servicing commitments and all that. So that's from me the business highlights for FY25 and the outlook for FY26. Happy to you know, answer any questions that you may have on FY25 numbers or FY26 outlook.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Shashank Agarwal from Shishko. Please go ahead.
Sir, I have two questions. Sir, first is, sir, your recent investments in recycling have been towards the chemical recycling part. Sir, how feasible is the tech? Because there was some report that the entire process is more expensive. Sir, and second one is, sir, how will the recent slump in crude oil prices affect the business going forward?
So the first part, you were not very audible, so I'll repeat the question. So the first part, what you are saying is, we are going in for mechanical recycling vis-a-vis the chemical recycling. Why is that so? Is that your question?
No, sir, my question was the chemical recycling that you are going into. Sir, is it feasible or is it more expensive than the virgin PET chip plant?
No, we are not doing the chemical recycling. We are only doing the mechanical recycling. Okay, so mechanical recycling, the recycled material ultimately is going to be a bit more expensive for the buyers. If the government has said that in the rigid packaging you have to use 30% recycled content. So this will settle over a period of time, and in the short run there will be demand supply challenges, but nevertheless on an overall basis, you know, to begin with, the prices on the recycled products will be higher, and as the capacity settles, I think they will settle. But on the whole, even after everything the dust settles and, you know, the normalcy comes, still it will be expensive as compared to virgin. What was your second question?
So my second question was regarding the recent slump in the crude oil prices.
So how, what is your question, that recent slump in the...
So will there any be say inventory losses or revenue losses?
So I don't really think so that there will be large adjustments on account of that. Because all your businesses are able to, move on with that. You know, your packaging films business adjusts that on a real time or on a 1 month lag basis, and your packaging business gains when the the raw material prices go down. So the crude prices go down will be an inter-adjustment between the packaging films and the packaging, but overall company basis there will be no big deviations in terms of the financial numbers.
Sir, one more small question. Sir, going forward, what is your view on reducing the company debt?
So, I think we've said that the only way to reduce the company debt is the amortization that we have to pay. And as I said, next year we have about 1,175 crore to pay. So, if there are no further, expansion happening, so every year for the next couple of years, we're going to pay this much of, repay this much of debt. Once this investment cycle stops, obviously there'll be a reduction of debt. But other than the normal amortizations, what we have with our lenders, there is no other way that we are looking at, from raising any equity or by doing anything else. We are not looking at, reducing the debt at present.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Chirag Singhal from First Water Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, am I audible?
Yeah,
so my question is on Asepto. So the new, the debottlenecking, they mentioned that it's expected to commission in Q1. So is it already commissioned?
Not yet, but I think soon it will get commissioned.
So it will be more towards, let's say, in the month of June?
I literally can't, give you a precise answer on this, but
okay.
When I spoke to my business team on this, they said that, we're very close to achieving that.
Okay. And could you help me with the overall guidance for aseptic volumes for this financial year?
So aseptic, I said that we produce 7.89 billion packs in this year, in FY20.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was asking for the guidance for the FY26.
Guidance would be any for FY26 would be in the range of 10 to 10.5 billion packs.
Okay. Just one more question on aseptic. So, recently there are many other players who have set up capacity. So, SIG recently commissioned a plant. Then, I think sometime back, GLS, Alopec set up a plant. So, do you see any challenges, due to this increased supply? And if you can also provide with the industry level data, I just want to understand what is the total aseptic capacity in India, how much of it is exports? And since SIG and all were importing earlier, what was the total imports in India?
So I can give you the overall industry number, which is about 36 billion packs annual, of which we will have 12. 16 is your Tetra Pak, and rest 8 is other players.
4G,
4 and 4, I'm told, SIG. So, I think, industry as the consumption, as we said, is growing at, high teens. So, overall, we don't see any challenges. SIG, in any case, I'm told, is a different technology than a Tetra. And it will take time for that acceptance and all that. Not that I am, sort of underestimating their capability, because they are a global player as well. But as of now, I can only share this industry landscape and our expectations for performance of this business in FY26.
So you are saying that total capacity is 36 billion packs. And what about the production, exports, and imports at the industry level?
Don't have numbers right now for them. those.
Okay. No problem. That would be it from mine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Aman Sontalia from AK Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Sir, we are setting up a very large plant in Egypt. So are you sure of that we will be able to sell the entire quantity in next 2 years?
So, Santalia ji, yes, you know, this question you would have asked us also when we were going to set up the first plant in India way back in 2019, no? So,
yes.
As you do, you will, you have, and that time, you know, Tetra Pak was a clear leader of in this market. You know, we've seen historically that, you know, there are certain products in which, you know, a second line or second supplier could never develop. Like, you know, for Amul butter, if you see. But, you know, I think the probably the questions that we had to ourselves when we were looking at setting up as competitor to Tetra Pak was more you know, pertinent in the year 19 when we set up the first plant. I think now we are for sure that, you know, we are going to it's going to be a success story. It might take a bit of a time to ramp up the capacity utilization levels the way it happened in India also, but once it grew, you know, you yourself are seeing that, you know, for the last 3 years now, we are struggling for having a capacity available. Because, you know, when we didn't have enough capacity utilization, given that it was the acceptance was taking time and then the COVID came in, we also developed a export market for our product, and today we do export about 35% of the output of this plant out of India. So with the result that I've been saying that, you know, we are not able to give, you know, add on more customers in India because of our capacity constraints. But once that happens, the overseas part of the business can be taken over by the Egypt plant, and this plant can do more of domestic supplies and all that, for which there is, as I said, that high teen market growth is there. So I think, as I said, this question was more pertinent when we were setting up our first plant, and we are 100% sure that, you know, our Egypt plant will be able to you know, sort of ramp it up faster. We had told you that Egypt itself consumes about 5 billion packs a year, and Egypt imports today 100% of its, you know, this aseptic packaging. So that itself gives you a reasonable base to start with. And then you have Africa, you have Europe, Egypt to Europe, you have advantage in terms of nil duty as well. So, you know, in couple of years' time, we'll come to you that we are looking to expand the capacity.
That's great. Sir, this April, I think EPR has got implemented. So are we seeing something on the ground also? Or is just that government has announced and it's got implemented on the papers, but I don't think there is something happening on the ground.
So people are trying to, you know, get hold of as to how do they comply with these norms and all that. But I think this will, it just started from 1st of April. As I said, even our capacity in Sector 155, where we're going to spend 317 crore, is going to come up only, and the best case possible, by the end of this this year. So, not that I know of, that many others are also not ready. So everybody is getting ready with the sense that government is serious and they're going to implement in true spirit, and you know, that is why the capacity is being added.
Sir, there is a huge volatility in the price of BOPET and BOPP in the domestic market. So is it the same in overseas market also, or it is just confined to India? And how is the price there, and how is the energy price, cost of production is there in the overseas market?
Obviously, the markets we are in, you know, especially the Hungary and the Poland market, there the energy costs are higher. Egypt energy costs are moderate. India is, you know, in between moderate and high. So, but that is not the point. The point is, you know, in any which way, whatever you will produce in India will cost less than the cost of production you will have at the European plant, given the manpower, given the compliances, given the energy prices in some in the Europe, in the whole of the Europe and all that. So today it makes extreme sense for everybody to for the European consumers to import from India at a cheaper price, or from Southeast Asia at a cheaper price. And that's what is happening, and that is where you see our Poland plant capacity utilization, it has increased in this quarter versus the Q3 from 60% to 70%. But you know, the Poland plant, we never operated at 70%. When we set up the new capacity, the old capacity for years together operated always at above 100% capacity utilization levels. So, but you know, now for the total capacity, we're doing about 70% over there. We are only trying to see that, you know, how do we take it back to their 100% or beyond 100% level. US plant ka agar aap dekhen, to kai saalon se hum log usko, you know, we are operating at above 100% capacity utilization level. But somehow there are not much imports, import threat in America, but import threat in Europe after the India capacity overhang has been affecting us at our Poland facility. But Hungary BOPP, because in India there is no mismatch, so BOPP at Hungary and Egypt, we have BOPP outside of India only at these two facilities, is operating at 100% level.
So since few of the new capacities are coming in India for BOPP, so do you think that it will also affect Hungary and Egypt in future, in near future also?
It might. So, you know, but, you know, the capacity addition on the BOPP side is still more manageable than the capacity addition what happened in 2023 on the PET side. So hopefully, and then there are large players in this, you know, Cosmo, Max, Jindal. So hopefully, you know, we should not see the kind of madness what happened at the time of the PET. But again, you know, only time will tell as to, you know, how the competition stacks up in this category. Now that in the next 3 to 3 months or so, we're going to see at least 20,000 tons of capacity being added in a market, in an Indian market, which consumes about 84,000 to 90,000 tons a month.
So that means, sir, there is the not we are not very sure about the future of this film business. But apart from film, other businesses are looking very good.
I think film business, we are not saying that we are sure of future. We are sure of future of this business. But, you know, in any commodity business, you see there are cycles when the capacity gets bunched together. And that's the time you see the capacity utilization across the industry moving down, and then again, you know, it stabilizes. And once it starts reaching 80% industry-wide, then people again start to plan new investments, and that's where, you know, again you get into that cycle, which is about a 7 to 10 year kind of a cycle, you know, that happens across the industry. We saw in 2016 there was a mayhem in terms of the demand supply, so that stabilized. By the time COVID came, you know, the industry was already operating at a very high capacity utilization level. So COVID gave a fillip because of the, you know, demand supply, because of the supply chain disruptions, and everybody made a supernormal profit in 21 and 22. So thereafter, a lot of capacity came, especially in India, both on the PET side as well as on the BOPP side. We've also seen a lot of new players who've set up the capacity. They were small consumers, they were into, you know, sort of value-added packaging and all that, but, you know, they also, looking at the numbers which were there, the prices of the films which were there at that point in time, so they also got alluded that, you know, there are huge margins, and obviously when all the capacity came together, you know, the margins fell. The what we see in 2024 and 2025, as I said, we've seen a ramp up of the volumes also. We see the price going up also, but you know, when such a large capacity gets added, you know, and, you know, let's also see it from that point of view that the Indian manufacturers started exporting in a big way to Europe. So the domestic prices became better by virtue of their exports, because the local markets couldn't have absorbed that capacity. And the local pricing would have remained, would have resulted in very low margins. But because of that export happening, a sort of balance happened in the domestic market. The overseas prices are still better as compared to India. And I think as the capacity utilization across the industry goes up, you know, in India there is more than 10% volume growth every year, so that it will get adjusted soon.
So one last question, sir. What is the update on Hungary high barrier film, evaluated film?
That separately, Santalia ji.
Okay, sir. That's from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Mehul Sawal from RW Equity. Please go ahead.
Hello. So just wanted to check on this flexible packaging. There was this whole trend of moving to monopolymer from sustainability point of view. But now this government has talked about, you know, having a certain portion of recycled component. So will both grow together, or is it that, you know, with this recycling part, monopolymer will not be very, like, you know, the way to go for companies who are looking for packaging solutions?
I think mechanical recycling is proven, is a sure shot way to, you know, tackle this plastic, you know, waste and all that. And once it becomes successful, then this is what will get followed in other jurisdictions as well. So let's wait for a couple of years for it to succeed, and before we have an answer. You know, monomer also, if you use, so what do you do that? You'll again have to recycle that as well. So that may be, you know, a different recycling, more of a chemical recycling and less of, you know, mechanical recycling. The polypropylene you know, you will take it back to the refinery, you will make oil with that and all that stuff. But mechanical is more cleaner, and you know that, you know, you can make the, you can use the old pack bottles to make the raw material for your polyester packaging films. You can use that for your rigid packaging bottles as well. So looks like that, you know, mechanical is the answer as of now, but let's wait for the next couple of years before we have more definitive answers on this.
And is there any sector thing, like, you know, for food purposes we can use one, but not like for non-food grade, you know, the recycled part is okay, or it doesn't matter, even for food grade you can use part of the recycled, the mechanically recycled PET?
So all this recycled material that we are talking about is all, you know, can be, you can pack food even using the recycled packaging. So our packaging is already approved by the US FDA, and everybody else will also get those accreditations. No issues on that.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Siddhant Chhabra from Manvara Asset Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Now, when you were discussing the overhang, particularly the BOPP expansion coming in this year, so we know directionally what kind of effect it's going to be. There's going to be pricing pressure and margin pressure. But can you give any early idea of that you would have, what the quantum of it can be? Will it be a 5-10% kind of pricing correction, or are you expecting more severe?
So for BOPP, actually, we have more presence in PET and less in BOPP. So our overall BOPP is only about 20% of our total packaging films business. So we don't see that, you know, that will, yes, it might get impacted. I'm not saying that it may not get impacted. But how much time and duration and the expectations, I think we'll have to, you know, sort of, we'll have to go by the actual experience as and when, you know, sort of this happens. Like, you know, if I tell you our total capacity, which is, so we do about 400,000 tons of BOPET and 150,000 tons of BOPP for us.
Okay. Right. And within the specialty segment or the value-added film segment, do you think that segment will be protected more or less, or will there be an adverse effect there as well?
I think you can reasonably expect that the, you know, the value addition added products will get a bit of an insulation from this overhang in the capacity, for sure.
Okay, all right, yeah. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Kaushik Poddar from KB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Can you give us a sense of the debt to EBITDA over the next 2-3 years? I mean, you ended at around 3.6 last year. So
yeah.
How do you foresee that ratio?
We are at 3.6. You know, depends on how the EBITDA also behaves. I think max we can look at is about 3.9 odd or so.
Yeah.
That's for this year.
For FY26 and or FY27 middle, somewhere includes the working capital that we'll have to also have for this. Because as I told you that, you know, of the announced projects, I think we need to add on debt of about 1200 odd crores. And the same amount is what we have to repay in FY26. So the debt that will get added will only be the working capital debt that will get added. So if our EBITDA for the next year improves by, say, 10%, we will be looking at about 2100 odd crores of EBITDA next year. So 21 into 3.6 will take our debt level to about 7550 from 6850, which takes care of my new working capital as well. But if EBITDA is 1900 only, so then 3.6 would mean the current level. So the working capital will have to be then extra.
But can you give us a sense of EBITDA for the next year, for this current financial year?
So we expect that FY26 we will have a 10% revenue growth, and a 10% revenue growth over currently 15,000 will give us about 16,700 odd crores, and a 13% margin on this, 12.5 to 13% margin, should give you 2100 odd crores of EBITDA.
Okay. And on the film side, you are okay with the BOPET scenario? I mean, BOPP, you said there is some concern. For the BOPET, you don't see much of a concern, right?
No, BOPET, we want better, because as I told you that some of our facilities in Poland are at a lower utilization level, given that there's a lot of exports happening from India. So I think we would love to, you know, see our plants back in full action. So hopefully next 1 year, as the India demand supply gap narrows, so we will have a better situation in our European jurisdictions.
Okay. And see, FY26, you are thinking of a 10% top line growth. Can we expect a similar growth in FY27 also with all your plants in operation? I guess all your expansions will be in operation by the end of FY26. Is it right?
But I don't have a number right now to give you for FY27. But surely with WPP, with recycling, and with Asepto Egypt getting commissioned, you know, they'll be. Obviously, definitely some revenue accretion to this and all that. But, you know, what happens is sometimes when you actually start a project, you know, because it takes time to stabilize, for some of the initial couple of years, you may not make that much of a profit that what you are actually looking for. It takes time for the things to settle. So I don't have, you know, sort of a clear-cut visibility for FY27. Yes, theoretical visibility will be there that, you know, if you add this much of a top line with this much of an EBITDA margin, you will have that. But I think let's give us a couple of more quarters before we can guide you on FY27 as to what we're looking at. By the time, we'll also be sure as to how the development and the construction of our projects is happening in FY.
Now, are you thinking of any other projects? I mean, this time, every time we see a newer project every financial year. So for the moment, till the time that your debt equity improves, can we project that there is no more project really coming, or how is it?
I don't make that decision. No, the board and the management, you know, the family has to take that decision. So if there are opportunities, you know, surely they will they'll be keen to expand there. But as I said that, you know, if we are, in, let's say we go to 2300 of EBITDA in FY26 itself, obviously, you know, the, you much more, you know, in a different frame of mind, then you will be at an EBITDA of 2000 odd crores in terms of looking at as to what next. So growth has quite, you know, has been, you know, our style of the way we've been, you know, performing. Yes, we have added capacity over the last 4-5 years, but we have performed also. And we do expect that, you know, there were temporary blips in the margin profiles because of the overcapacities, etc., and all that. But I think we are a very large player in this business, and we have to look at protecting our market share, our markets, and all that. So, you know, if there are opportunities which make sense in the future as well, there will be expansions. But yes, we will remain very, very aware about, you know, our debt levels and all that. So 3.6 current level and all that should be overall guidance that, you know, this is we can look at this as a future reference point for our debt levels.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Raghav from Equitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Sir, I have three questions. The first one being, what are the new capacity expansions that we have planned for BOPP and BOPET?
We don't have any capacity addition planned for BOPET and BOPP.
Sir, has there been any new capacity planned in the industry perspective in general?
So industry in India, on the BOPP side, I told you that there is going to be about 20,000 tons of capacity getting added in the next 3 to 4 months. On the PET side, I think there is only one line which was announced, which is expected to get commissioned. I don't have the timing for that. And on the PET line, now recently Jindal Poly has announced a few days back, they've announced a BOPP line, a CPP line, and a PET line in India.
Perfect, sir. If I could get a tentative idea about the margin profile of the company vis-a-vis the industry.
So I think we work in various segments of the business: packaging films, packaging, holographic, aseptic.
Sir, I'd be wanting more towards the BOPP and the BOPET part.
So BOPP and BOPET part would be about 10-odd% currently.
Fair. And for the industry, it would be in the similar ranges or a bit higher?
Similar ranges. Depending on the value added, it could be 1% plus or minus, but largely in that range only.
Perfect. Sir, my last question will be regarding the current spreads of BOPP and BOPET. If you could give some light on that.
Sorry, on?
On the current spreads of BOPP and BOPET.
I think important EBITDA margin, what I told you across the BOPP and the PET, overall 10-10.5%, 10-11 range is what the industry as a whole is getting. You know, we are not only in India, we are also in the overseas territories as well. So Nigeria's profile will be different, India would be different, USA would be different, Europe would be different. So I think we'll have to talk a blended average only as of now.
And so the blended average for this year would be 10 to 11, and for guidance will also be in the same range, or we'll improve something?
Guidance could be, you know, given that BOPP may see some competition, the PET may improve a bit. So it will be, you know, give and take for between BOPP as well as the PET. So overall guidance for this year on the PET industry margins, on the packaging film industry margins, I think let's look at 10 to 11.
Sure. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Namaskar, team. Dhanyawad, sir, is opportunity ke liye, sir. Firstly, sir, if you could give us some color on our film business in terms of you have been alluding to the fact that there will be capacity addition for BOPP going ahead, and BOPET has performed better. So if you could just give us some more color how the spreads have been for Q4. And when we look at the Q1Q number, December to March, we have seen lower profitability. So what factors have, and you get how have the margins for the film business shaped? Some more color on the film, sir.
I think that much of what we saw in the Q3 versus Q4, you know, that much of variability is always there on a quarter-to-quarter basis. So we saw that in the packaging films, you know, there were some corrections which happened in Q4 over Q3, and that's the reason, you know, the margin profile is, you know, the profitability in Q4 is lower than Q3. But, you know, at the year end, you also have a lot of things which you need to provide for and all that. So I'm not, you know, sort of getting on to that, because, you know, if there is a loss in the packaging business, there'll be a better margin in the packaging business, because, you know, the packaging business will always gain, perform better when the packaging film prices go down, and vice versa, because, you know, they work they have orders in hand, and then they buy their raw material at a lower cost and all that, so it gives them the benefit. But overall, between Q3 and Q4, we didn't see much of a differential product category-wise. We only saw that packaging films prices in the market, you know, became a bit soft in Q4 as compared to Q3.
Right. So can you provide us with the spread for the BOPET film? How has the spread shaped up for the quarter?
No, we'll have to get back to you that offline only.
And, sir, I also like to congratulate the board for a 3 rupees 30% dividend payout. So thank you for looking into the aspect of it. And now, sir, coming to the key concern on the valuation metrics, which you already mentioned that we are not looking for any raising of equity. But earlier, I think so, we were provided with the input that there might be some listing of some foreign subsidiary or some value creation exercise may be carried out. So if you could just provide us with some color, where are we in midst of that part of our subsidiary listing or value unlocking, if any, that we are looking. And second question was about the value added contribution set. How are we seeing this percentage moving up for the current financial year vis-a-vis the percentage which we have clocked for the current? So So if you could just give the comparative number of what kind of growth we are looking. These two factors.
The first, our plans for our listing of our overseas subsidiary. I'm not saying that, you know, we're not prepared for that. Yes, we are prepared for that. But you know, as of now, there is not much opportunity in that space. So that is why I said that in near term, I don't see that. You know, any equity raising to reduce the debt or anything else. But, you know, having said that, we had initiated that, we had worked upon a lot on that, and then the market tanked and all that. So that exuberance which was there in markets at that point in time, we don't still find in that, you know, they are back and, you know, we can look at equity raising. In the near term. So when I said that, you know, that was only meaning in the near term. But if there is an opportunity after 2 years, we'll surely look at raising equity at a Dubai holding level. Secondly, your second question is not very clear to me, but what I get from you.
I will repeat it, sir. It is the value-added contribution, value-added product contribution to the overall revenue mix. However, the value-added contribution will be in terms of the percentage. Value-added products in the film segment also, and again the aesthetic also going ahead. How will this shape up?
So all these questions related, earlier also there were questions relating to this value addition and all that, value added products. I think we will take all of them offline and our teams will get back to you.
Okay. And just thirdly, sir, do we have ESOPs in our organization or that is not mandated?
We don't have ESOPs.
Okay, sir. And sir, fourthly, sir, as you mentioned that it will be the call for the promoters whether they will go for further expansion or how are they going to lower the debt. That will be the exercise done by that. So, although sir, you are a professional representing the company and we are getting the right answers and the right guidance from you, but we would request the promoter or the promoter family member to also join and address the investor queries. In terms of these factors that are not allowing us to understand how this value creation exercise or whether value could be created out of our assets, because market will is not valuing us correctly and there are good reasons for the same. So we would request your good self to also provide the input to the promoters and the managing directors Chaturvedi ji, so that if he is addressing the investors or listening to us and giving us the right his viewpoint, that would suffice a lot of queries going ahead. Because the promoter stake is also, I think, to below 50%. So we could ask the promoter or a promoter family member of why they are not opting for creeping acquisition when there is so much value available. So these questions are left unanswered since there are no presentation and only no participation from the promoter category. The AGM would be the only platform for us. So this is a request from my side, sir, if that could be conveyed to the promoter family. That's all, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Aman Sonthalia from AK Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, any reason for the dip in chemical business?
Chemical to theek hai business. Chemical is not dipped. Chemical has performed better. Chemical business profitability. We don't share those numbers separately for you, but I can tell you that chemical business profitability has been better in FY25 over FY24.
सर हम लोगों का दो बिजनेस है एक तो फिल्म बिजनेस है और एक है वैल्यू एडेड बिजनेस लाइक नॉन कॉमोडिटी बिजनेस तो डू वी फोरसी कि जो हम लोगों का नॉन कॉमोडिटी बिजनेस है जिसके अंदर में वी आर एश्योर्ड ऑफ आवर प्रॉफिट दैट विल डू मच बेटर कंपेयर टू this commodity business in 2025 and 26?
What? Even commodity business will do better as we are, we will see the ramp up in the overall capacity utilization industry-wide. So we've seen in the past that even the business on the packaging films has delivered about 14 to 15%. I'm not counting on the COVID years, but without the COVID years also, the packaging films business has contributed 14 to 15% kind of EBITDA margins. So I'm sure that we'll have those days again in next couple of years' time. So we, and today also, let's accept the fact that that business is a substantial part of our business. Today, we've shown you how much of our business is packaging films, which is 1 minute hold karna, main deta hu aapko number. So 77% of the business is the packaging films business, in 77.7%.
Sir, but I think profit is, I think, not 77%. I think it is less than 77%. And America in non-film business ki profitability jyada hai kya?
Non-film business ki profitability definitely better hai. There's no doubt. Better hai. Holographic ki better hai. Engineering ki better hai. Sab better hai. Packaging films mein, what I'm trying to say is 24 was a very bad year for the industry. 25 has been has shown a lot of improvement in the packaging films business, and 26 will be better also.
Okay. Sir, one last question. In Mexico business, mein jo hum log naya plant laga rahe hain, how much turnover we can expect from that business at full capacity, and what will be the margin in that business?
Which business you are talking about?
Packaging business, as your pet food packaging business.
Pet food packaging business, mein, we are looking at about 22 to 24% EBITDA margin.
And turnover, sir? At full
capacity? Correct. Our packaging films is 62.3%.
सर वो पेट फिल्म पे जो हम लोग प्लांट लगा रहे हैं उसका टर्नओवर क्या एक्सपेक्ट कर सकते हैं फुल कैपेसिटी पे मेक्सिको वाले प्लांट
का टर्नओवर आएगा फुल कैपेसिटी पे करीब $50 million
$50 million दैट विल बी अराउंड 450 crore रुपीज यस सर एंड सर ये लगता है कि हम लोग नेक्स्ट ईयर में इस साल या सेकेंड हाफ में या नेक्स्ट ईयर जो भी हमारी कैपेसिटी हम लोगों की है इन रिसाइकलिंग बिजनेस इन मेक्सिको इन इजिप्ट एंड इन इंडिया ये यूटिलाइजेशन लेवल रैंप अप करेगा
मतलब आई थिंक FY26 में जो हमने रिसाइकलिंग देखिए रिसाइकलिंग में जो बड़ी इन्वेस्टमेंट हो रही है वो अभी इंडिया में नोएडा में 317 करोड़ रुपया जो खर्चा कर रहे हैं वो हो रही है उसके पहले जो भी इन्वेस्टमेंट की है वो छोटे छोटे प्लांट्स हैं शोकेस मोर ऑफ ए शोकेस बट डेफिनेटली वी एक्सपेक्ट दैट कि जैसे हमने PCR लगाया है जिसमें हम ओल्ड पेट बॉटल्स लेके उससे फिर फिल्म बनाते हैं उस फिल्म की डिमांड बढ़ेगी तो I think 26 may definitely we are looking at ki all our initiatives on the recycling, on the sustainability initiatives will do, sort of much better, including the new investment what we are proposing in Noida.
एंड सर लास्ट क्वेश्चन कि हम लोगों का इंडिया में 1.2 बिलियन पैक का हम लोगों का कैपेसिटी हो गया है, 12 बिलियन पैक का एसिप्टो में, तो जिस तरह से भी लीकर वगैरह के अंदर में रिक्वायरमेंट्स आ रही है या अदर सेक्टर्स में भी आ रही है, डू यू थिंक दैट वी विल नीड फर्दर कैपेसिटी इन फ्यूचर इन द एसिप्टो बिजनेस इन इंडिया ऑल्सो?
मेरे को आई डोंट सी कि इंडिया में अभी और कैपेसिटी की कुछ साल जरूरत पड़ेगी, बिकॉज इजिप्ट का प्लांट है ना, वहां पे 12 बिलियन है ना, तो एक्सपोर्ट हम वहां कर सकते हैं अगर इंडिया की कैपेसिटी थोड़ा स्पेयर करना हो तो यहाँ पे फॉर डोमेस्टिक मार्केट वी कैन प्ले बिटवीन द टू.
ओके सर,
12 बिलियन तो इजिप्ट कैपेसिटी है, फर्स्ट ईयर में तो हो नहीं जाएगा कम्प्लीट.
राइट सर,
तो वो एडजस्टमेंट हो सकता है इजिप्ट के साथ में कि एक्सपोर्ट्स हम थोड़ा सा उधर शिफ्ट कर दें और डोमेस्टिक कैपेसिटी के लिए, डोमेस्टिक वॉल्यूम के लिए यहाँ शिफ्ट, यहाँ थोड़ा सा हेडरूम हो जाएगा.
ओके सर, थैंक्स सर.
थैंक यू. लेडीज एंड जेंटलमैन, दैट वाज द लास्ट क्वेश्चन फॉर टुडे. आई वुड नाउ लाइक टू हैंड द कॉन्फ्रेंस ओवर टू द मैनेजमेंट फॉर द क्लोजिंग रिमार्क्स.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate your time, questions, and continued support. The transcript of this call will be made available shortly on our website at www.eflexlimited.com. We value this platform as a key opportunity to connect with our investors, stakeholders, and we look forward to sharing further updates with you in the next quarter. Until then, stay safe and have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Dolat Capital Markets Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.